do have an activity for any children at the back there. They're going to be making their own poppy wreath, I think. So hopefully we'll be able to see that later on towards the end of the service. It's been quite a year so far, hasn't it? 2016. It began with a number of much-loved celebrities passing away, didn't it? We've then seen the greater rise of far-right-wing politics in Europe. The shock after the UK voted to leave the EU. We've seen Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, flexing his military muscles in Syria. And now this week, we saw Donald J. Trump be elected as president of America. It's been quite a tumultuous year. And I confess I felt quite unsettled by it, to the point where I've had to stop reading things that people are posting on Facebook. Such widespread change and uncertainty can be difficult to handle. Now, Ecclesiastes is traditionally regarded as King Solomon's reflections towards the end of his reign. He was the king of Israel about 3,000 years ago. And he was king for about 40 years. And he was known for his great wisdom. And here in Ecclesiastes, we have him looking back on his life, passing on his wise advice to his children to help them find the proper perspective on life. I wonder if any of you remember the BBC TV show Grumpy Old Men. You remember that? I suspect there aren't any grumpy old men in church today. I'll look down. It was on a few years ago, wasn't it? Do you remember it? They had a group of older male celebrities put on camera to complain. And they complained about all sorts of things, from, ironically, celebrity culture, the lack of respect for older people, declining moral standards in the United Kingdom, to how policemen, doctors, and yes, vicars are getting younger. And Ecclesiastes can sometimes, excuse me, Ecclesiastes can read a little bit like that, like the grumpy old men of the Old Testament. One of the first sentences goes, "There's nothing new under the sun." Solomon says, "Everything that's born, one day will die. Everything we have, one day we will lose. All come from dust," he says, "and to dust all return." Famously, the refrain of the book is this: meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Sounds a bit depressing, doesn't it, to be honest? Really does sound like the grumpy old men. What's the point? Why bother? Well, thankfully, when we dig a little more deeply into Ecclesiastes, that's not what Solomon means at all. He wants to jolt us out of complacency. He's trying to turn us away from things that are only temporary and direct us to the things that are not. The only thing, the only one who is constant, God. Our reading began with these words: "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens." We might add to that list that John read for us, there is a time for winning elections and a time for losing elections. In the middle of a storm, it can feel really difficult to see how things could be any calmer. I don't know if you've ever been on a ferry when the weather's bad, crossing the channel or something like that. We once went on a school trip to the battlefields in Northern Europe. And on the first time I went on that trip, it was bad. It was really bad. You almost forget what it's like not to feel sick. In the middle of pain, when we go through those times in life that are difficult, it can feel difficult to see how things could get any better, how things could feel happier. But everything has its time, Solomon says. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing is permanent. For every dark night, there will be a dawn. For every 2016, there will be a 2017. And of course, for every shining day, eventually darkness will fall. Now, instead of pushing us into a deep depression about the world and its futility, this truth is intended to help us see the bigger picture, the bigger picture of life, that it is difficult, that it has great highs, but also great lows, that it is a constant up and down mix of joys and struggles. I don't know if that describes your life. It certainly describes mine. And that's normal, Solomon says. So enjoy the good bits, and when the bad comes, know it will not last forever. Now, I don't think that Solomon is saying that approvingly. He isn't saying it's a good thing that there is a time to mourn and weep, as well as a time to laugh and dance. That is simply part of life. Part of wisdom is recognizing how things really are. We sometimes like to pretend, don't we, that everything's okay. But wisdom lies in acknowledging that it isn't. So when Solomon says there is a time for war and a time for peace, he means that sometimes war is unavoidable, not that sometimes war is good. Personally, I'm not sure I would ever use the word right to describe a war. But even war has its time. Sometimes war is necessary. Sometimes it is the least bad of all the options that we are faced with. And today, of course, we remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice, fighting for our freedom. Sometimes people say, everything happens for a reason. Have you heard that? You heard that phrase? I'm afraid I think it's rubbish. Nonsense. You might be surprised to hear a vicar say that. One of the reasons the world can be so painful is precisely because the pain and the suffering is senseless and needless. Much of that suffering is caused by war. In Syria, a country which 5 years ago the population was 22 million people. In Syria, 11 million people have had to flee their homes. Nearly half of them to neighbouring countries. So that in Jordan, 1 in 10 people are Syrian refugees. In Lebanon, it's 1 in 4. Kind of puts our immigration into perspective. According to the UN, well over half of the pre-war population are now in need of humanitarian aid. Everything happens for a reason. It's nonsense. Don't listen to that lie. Everything has its time, true, Solomon says. But that doesn't mean everything is good. Wisdom means being honest about how the world is. And honestly, there is so much senseless violence in the world, it should be painful for us. And Solomon wants to acknowledge that pain. He isn't saying it's okay. He's not saying it's good. But he is saying it's real. There's no sort of soundbite here, but an honest assessment of how things really are. This is the big picture, the perspective on life that Solomon wants to pass on to his children. This is how it is. But it is not all there is. Just after this passage, Solomon says some words that you may have heard before. God has set eternity in the human heart. This is the sense we all have of there being something more. That this can't be it. Now, I love you all. I love my wife. I love technology. I love driving my car. I love going on holidays. I love all of that. But surely there is more to life. There is. God has set eternity in the human heart. Within each one of us, there is a longing for something more, a longing that can only be satisfied in God. Everything we can see, hear, smell, touch, and taste, some of it's great and it's really good, but it's all transient. It is temporary. To use the language of Ecclesiastes, it's meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I don't know if any of you have managed to catch the wind. No? It satisfies for a moment, but then we end up wanting more. always more. That's why money doesn't satisfy. Because more isn't the same as enough. In chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, "Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. Wealth and possessions cannot satisfy that deepest longing within us." Because that's where God comes in. Today, we remember the women and men, particularly, but not only those who fought and died for our country. Their sacrifice echoes the greatest sacrifice of all, Jesus himself, who gave his life for our freedom. The freedom not just of one country, but of the world. Jesus' death is the ultimate big picture. It gives us the only true perspective on life. You see, it reminds us that the world is damaged. The world is broken. That we are damaged, bruised, and broken. That although there is good within us, there is also something rotten. And that is a hard truth to hear within each one of us. Some people say we all need heart surgery because the heart of the human problem is the human heart. We tend to think, don't we, that other people are the problem. Not me. I'm all right. It's them. They're the problem. But that's deluding ourselves. It's denying the truth. And remember, wisdom, it means accepting and being real about the truth. See, look into your heart and ask yourself, is there really no malice, no gossip, no anger, no jealousy, no envy, no greed, no selfishness, no bitterness in there? If we were all truly honest about the state of our own hearts, would there be so much violence in the world? Jesus told a story about a young man who squandered his father's inheritance. We are that young man, taking the life God has given each one of us and then ignoring his best way to live that life, thinking we know better than the one who made us. One of my favourite bands has a song that says, "We are bruised and broken masterpieces, but we didn't paint ourselves." And thankfully, our painter isn't done with us yet. See, Jesus' story doesn't end with that young man having squandered the inheritance alone and afraid in a foreign country. It doesn't end there. One day, Jesus says, he came to his senses. And he remembered that there is more. There is something more. So he decided to go back home. He didn't think his father would accept him as a son after what he'd done. So he decided that he would be content to live as one of his father's hired servants. So off he trudged back home, the long journey home. But Jesus says, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and ran to him, threw his arms around him, and said, "Welcome home, my son." The son in Jesus' story discovered that in his life, there was a time for wealth and a time for hunger, a time for joy and a time for pain, a time to run away and a time to say sorry, to come home. I wonder what this time is for you. See, by rights, and according to Jewish custom at the time, Jesus' listeners would have expected him to say that the father would have shunned and shamed his son for the dishonor that he'd brought on his family. But he didn't. He said, "Welcome home, my son." In Jesus' story, there are two phrases that I love. Two of my favorite phrases in the whole Bible. He came to his senses, and while he was still a long way off, the son didn't have to prove himself to his father. He just had to come to his senses and turn back home. The son didn't have to walk all the way to the front door and face pressing the doorbell. Because while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and ran threw his arms around him. Friends, that is why Jesus died. He made us. And so he knew that in our own strength we can never prove ourselves to God. He made us, and so he knew that in our own strength we could never find our way home. So he died in our place to pay the price for all those mistakes that we made. All that stuff in our hearts that we don't like. All that mess. He can take all that away and bring us home to our Father in heaven. All we have to do is come to our senses, like the son in the story, and turn back to God, who is always there, ready and waiting to welcome us home. You see, Christians aren't perfect. Sometimes we pretend we are. We like to pretend that we've got it all sorted out. But that's not what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who knows that every day they need to come to their senses and turn back to God. A Christian is someone who knows that even though we are a long way off, the Father comes running to welcome us home. Doesn't mean life's going to be easy, far from it. But it does mean we can restore that relationship with our Father, our Creator, and start living the way He intended us to live all along. And it does mean that that desire for something more finds its fulfillment in the place it was made for. See, that eternity in the human heart, that hole that God put within us, is a God-shaped hole. Only He is constant. Only He is big enough to fill that void. We try and fill it with all sorts of things, but nothing other than God will satisfy that longing. There is a time for everything. Today is a time for remembrance. A time for giving thanks. And I pray and I hope that as we remember not only those who died in service of their country, as we give thanks for their sacrifice, we might also remember Jesus, who too died for our freedom. And I pray that we would all come to our senses today, turn back to God, and find that though we are a long way off, He will come running to welcome us home. Throws his arms around us, and what did he say to the son? Welcome home, my child. Amen.